I've been police chief in the city of Sandy 25 years. I will be 40 or 50 years old draft first next year. To receive the same retirement benefits my partners do, they have 25 years and I have to work 33 years. I think we all realize that police officers after age 50 should be in administrative jobs, not working the road. And you can imagine what a police officer at age 58 would encounter if he had problems on the road. I certainly support age 50 retirement. I support 3417 with the amendment that I presented to you.
Thank you. Any questions about that, Max?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this amendment out.
It would say system at the time the member left was in the service of public
what?
Employer. Is that what you're saying? On line 11.
No, but on line 10 is where I'm having problems with. After the word that, insert employees or.
Yeah. The public employer that employs and omit
employees.
Had previously employed.
That's my problem. That you mean employs, don't you?
Yes.
Instead of ES.
That's correct.
Okay.
Scribner's error.
Okay, that now I understand.
The only other comment I have that I think is necessary to say is the fact that if the way the bill is prepared, we would be buying back our time only. And I think there are a few of us out there willing to buy back our time plus the employer's time, if that would be possible.
I think that'll be required.
Okay, Ron Kaufman.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Ron Kaufman. I'm with the Eugene Department of Public Safety. In the interest of time, I'll be brief. Basically, from what I understand, this bill would only affect those people who are interested in buying back their time and what have you from the prior cities or governments would not be of any cost to anyone else but those people. In my situation, the city that I worked for prior to going to Eugene was not under PERS. Shortly after I left it, and I believe Sergeant Hand, who was with me on that department at that time, is under the same situation. After I left, they did ultimately go to PERS. The people who were working there at that time were afforded the opportunity to buy back the time prior to being PERS. So therefore, I think it's just logical that other employees have the same opportunity.
Mr.
Thank you.
Yes.
What did the city you work for have another retirement?
Yes, it was Pacific Mutual Insurance Company, who, by the way, have no record of me at all, and I believe I did leave some money in that system when I left. I'm trying to track that down.
What would happen to somebody who was in that system long enough to be vested, whatever, however many years that is? Would they be able to keep that and go by the PERS?
I don't know. My problem was I was there for 2.5 years and consequently I was not vested.
Right.
Okay. And I'm not certain if after you were vested you were able to keep that or not. So I can't answer your question.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We have a few more people, but I wanted to get Fred McDonald to come up and give us the first board's position on this. Fred, I guess Fred McDonald and Bob Andrews both.
Mr. Chairman, Fred McDonald, Bob Andrews, PERS.
Mr. Chair, on 34, 16, or 17, would you... 17? From the standpoint of fiscal impact, we would have an administrative cost to the fund for the biennium 89-91 of $23,130. We'd have a fraction of an FTE that would be required to process forms and do research and some accounts receivable type work. We have a question or a comment regarding the bill, and that is as to which employer would pay the employer's portion. And there is a precedent-setting bill, of the number of which I don't know offhand, but when we had this situation with the Department of Forestry, the employees paid both the employer portion as well as the employee portion. If the individual came to work for a PERS-covered employer and had not worked for a PERS-covered employer prior to that, then either it would have to be done the way I just mentioned, or the new PERS employer presumably would have to pick up those prior years as well. And we just wanted to make a point of that. We estimated that would be, and this again is an estimate, that it would be approximately $60,000. We don't know for each member, the cost to the employer would be approximately $60,000 would be assessed against the fund. And there were some assumptions in there that for every 10 years purchased, approximately $60,000 would be assessed against the fund. Now, I just provide that as a point of information. It's not totally actuarially sound.
For each individual that opted out would be $60,000, is that what you're saying? A one-time?
That's correct. For every individual coming into the system, that the employer would be required to pay about $60,000 unless the employee picked up both shares.
Max had a question. I'll go ahead and ask it now if you would.
I'm not sure that you may have prepared this cost because you don't know what salaries were and everything, but what ballpark, what would it cost one of these individuals to buy back his 10 years? Is there any, do you have any ballpark on that? His portion only.
Mr. Chairman, Bob Andrews, PERS, Membership and Coverage Section. In answer to Mr. Whittingham's question, if I'm reading what I see correctly in sub 2 of the bill, in section 2, sub 2, subparagraph B, the member is going to pay the contributions that would have been paid on the salary in the first year after having established employment with his current employer based on that first full year. I would want to believe that these hadn't occurred too far back in the history, then we'd be looking at a flat 6% of that wage would be the member's cost. However, if it went to a period before that, then we would be going back into some other of the rates that are in existence before 1979, rates in existence that could have been perhaps before 1968, would have been the rate that they may have paid on that first year's salary in the current employer. So there is no specific definition on that. And that's only, again, this only contemplates the employee's money. It does not contemplate the cost that Mr. McDonald was talking about.
And if the employee were to pick up the employer's share, that percentage would also vary depending on what year they served, correct?
That would be correct. Okay.
Representative Walden, that's your question. Do you have any other comments about the bill?
We're requesting, I think, to examine the impact of the implication of in lump sum or installments. And if we were to go to the installment, we would ask that the effective date could be adjusted in order for us to get a software in place to handle an accounts receivable, which we do not have at this particular time.
This is a unique situation here of setting up an accounts receivable. All of our other purchases have essentially been as a lump sum purchase. And to create the installment basis, we do not have the software to be able to support that type of a purchase. So either we delete the installments or we make a delay in the implementation of it so that we could bring that package together in order to be able to handle an installment purchase.
Seems like we did this once before to delay the
Do I understand that all buybacks, to your knowledge, that have been permitted by the legislature have always been lump sum?
To the very best of my knowledge. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Andrews, the concern we have on this is the employer cost that we would, again, the imposition on the trust and the absence of interest. Mr. McDonald was referring to the Forest Protective Association purchases that came out of the 1987 session, which kind of established this type of activity, but had a different method of funding it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Did you give an overall fiscal impact on this?
Mr. McDonald, the representative.
Well, I didn't write it down. What?
Administrative cost, Mr. Chairman, Representative Wallen, $23,130 for the 89-91 biennium.
What about cost to the fund over?
The estimate that we came up with for every 10 years purchased, approximately $60,000.
You don't have any kind of an estimate of how many that would be, I would assume.
No, I don't. Do not.
Okay. It's one of those when we throw the ball in the air and see which way it fell down. Okay. I'm having the same problem.
Okay, there it is.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Colleen, do you want to come up and give your opinion of this legislation?
Thank you, Chairman Whitty. For the record, Colleen Haas, Local Government Personnel Institute. I think in listening to some of the testimony that's been given, some of the concerns that we have been raised. I'd like to go over them briefly. Number one, in the state of Oregon currently, all police officers and firefighters have the benefit of a retirement system, whether that system is a PERS retirement system or a non-PERS retirement system. According to the law, it has to be equal to or better than the PERS system. To my knowledge, there is only one non-PERS system in this state that does not vest its employees in the same amount of time that the PERS system does, which is 5 years. So any employee who had, or any police officer or firefighter who had worked for a retirement system or worked for an employer in the state of Oregon who was a non-PERS employer would have the benefit of a vested retirement from that system had that employee worked for that system at least 5 years. So, in essence, there is a coverage available to police officers and firefighters who come into the PERS system but have been in another system. Another major concern that we had with the bill as drafted is that it does not, as mentioned earlier, have any requirement for repayment of interest that would have been earned on contributions, and it has no discussion of the employer portion of that contribution, which according to the department would be a fairly major, a substantial amount, $60,000 per employee for each 10 years purchased. I'm not sure how the department makes those conversions as far as what that would be in increase in percentage of employer contribution. But for police officers and firefighters, local governments are experience rated, well, for their employees. Local governments are experience rated individually, which is different than the state. The state is rated as, all agencies within the state are rated as one, all school districts are rated as one. Each individual employer, city of Eugene, city of Newburgh, well, Newburgh's not in the system, any individual employer throughout the state is experience rated individually, and the employer contribution rates range anywhere from a minimum of 6%, which is the minimum PERS will allow an employer contribution rate to go, to somewhere over 23% for the police officer portion. So we could be talking a major amount of money depending on the makeup of the police officers or firefighters in that employee group. I think that before any discussion can culminate in a decision on this, there has to be some actuarial work done on what the cost to employers would be for a bill such as this. I can appreciate the fact that PERS has not had the time to do an actuarial study on the cost to employers, and in fact in their budget are concerned with what the impact would be to them. However, we are very concerned about what the impact would be to employers, and would request that an actuarial study be done before any discussion goes any further on it. Those are my main concerns regarding the bill. I think that there are other ways for employees to have a retirement, and this is again a special quote-unquote benefit requested by police officers and firefighters, which is not available to the other employees, to the general employees in the general retirement fund. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Do you have any? Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
James Hand.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is James Hand. I'm employed currently with the Oregon State Police. Prior to that, I was with the Klamath Falls City Police from 1962 to 1971, 9 years. That was not covered under PERS. I support both bills, mainly our buyback bill, to regain those 9 years for retirement, which otherwise would be lost. At the time that I changed jobs, I was advised that the 9 years would carry over under PERS by the people at that time. Later found out that it did not under the wording of the law at that time. It'd be a great benefit to me and everybody else involved to be able to reclaim those lost years of Oregon police service for the state of Oregon under PERS.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, did you qualify, did Klamath Falls offer a retirement plan different from PERS?
They had, as stated, they had their own system through an insurance company who has since that time either destroyed all records that covered that period of time or whatever. I checked every way I could to find a record of my retirement.
And they can't find it?
There's no record at all.
You work through the insurance commissioner here?
Well, I checked with the city of Klamath Falls for their records. All they have is my employment record.
Right.
2 years after I left the city, they did go under PERS. The records, what they have basically start from the time they went under PERS, and I think the records prior to that were probably disposed of.
The insurance company doesn't?
I checked with the insurance company, which was Pacific Mutual, home-based in California. Mm-hmm. I called them on my own, and they checked their records, which are computerized now, and they have no record of me during that time on their computer, as same as Mr. Kaufman. Hmm.
Wow. Mr. Chairman?
Somebody ought to look.
Can I ask a question? Go ahead.
Did they have a record of the city of Klamath Falls being one of their participants in a retirement insurance program?
Yeah. I'm sure they do. I don't remember specifically asking that. However, there are people still employed at the city of Klamath Falls that came on when I did. for any verification that I was there, you know, I can do that through people still employed there, that would know that we were under that particular retirement system, this insurance company.
And you've made formal requests?
Yes, I have. To the city and to the...
And to the insurance company?
And to the insurance company.
I know I'm deviating a bit from the bill, but, I mean, if they're out there providing coverage and getting paid for it, I hope they wouldn't lose your records.
Yes,
Mr. You're not the first one. Thank you.
Doesn't seem like it could be real, but it is.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted the record specifically to bring
yeah.
here or whatever to show that the amounts we did have, but...
Okay. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Melvin Hauser?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I'm Melvin Hauser. I've been employed by the Oregon State Police since 1972. Prior to being employed by the Oregon State Police, I served 9 years with the City of LeGrand. Dates of employment were from August 1963 to October 72. There was no break in service between being employed by the City of LeGrand and the Oregon State Police. During the 9 years I was employed by the city, we were not covered under the public employee retirement system. If an employee under PERS quits his job and then starts with another employee under PERS at a later date, he is able to buy that time back. Most of the officers that this bill will affect are the top pay scale. It would cost less money to let these officers buy back their time and replace them with new officers at a lower pay scale rather than have these officers continue working at the top of their pay scale. I'd like to see House Bill 3417 pass so that the officers in the state of Oregon that had continuous service but were not under PRS able to get this time added to their public employee retirement system. Now, the City of LeGrand joined PRS in 1979. They provided 20 years retroactive time for personnel still employed by the City of LeGrand, but did not cover past employees that went into other public employee jobs. Now, when I quit, City of LeGrand went to work for the state police. They just started a retirement system under New York Life. I was not vested in that retirement system, so my time with the City of LeGrand is lost. That's why I'd like to be able to buy this time into 3417.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Gail Lively?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Gail Lively. I'm with the Oregon State Police in McMinnville. I've been employed by the Oregon State Police since 1967. I may have been the one responsible for starting this whole mess under 34117 in last legislation through Representative Bunn's office. At that time, it wasn't properly prepared. I didn't put it together and it died in committee. The reason for my concern is I also was employed by LeGrand City Police Department from 1963 until 1967. During that period of time, there was absolutely no retirement system other than Social Security by LeGrand Police Department that was available to its employees. I came on the state police, and I believe it was 1979, LeGrand Police Department did come under PERS. The original intent of this bill was to give those people who had no broken service an opportunity to buy back the same as those people who were under the system, withdrew, came back into the system, and after a certain period of time could retire and buy back the previous time. Current legislation exists to permit several different programs for a person to buy back, transfer, and or enter PERS. One of those being that now exists, the on the printed copy that I submitted to you, it lists that I have only been under the PERS since February of 68. That was due to a probationary period that has since been resolved. A person can come under PERS, quit, go out into private business for X number of years, come back on, and buy back his previous time with no penalty and retire. And we, under House Bill 3417, are interested in just giving the opportunity to enter PERS for those years that we did not have the opportunity under prior employment. I support both bills, but primarily 3417. I do thank you for your time.
Thank you. There's four people left to testify, and they're all from OSPOA. Do any of you have anything new to add to what we've already heard?
Who are the people?
The people that had signed up were T.M. Zalowski.
I suppose it's still necessary. I have nothing else to ask.
Another one was Stephen Gage. Okay. Did you have anything?
He's gone.
Okay. Bill Winham?
Winham. You know, I probably wouldn't have anything more to
say. Why don't you come up and put your name if you want to say anything?
My name is,
The other one is a an M.L.
Sheets. My name is Bill Winheim, and I'm employed by the Oregon State Police. My circumstances in this case are very similar to the other gentlemen that you've heard. The only, I guess, additional testimony I would have would be in the form of a question, and that would be in the previous testimony from the gentleman from PERS and their study. I believe that in most all of our cases, our buyback, so to speak, is going to be back in the 60s, as you've heard, from 60s to 68, 69. If their study and cost factor that they testified to was taken back in that period of time as far as revenue and buyback would be concerned, or if it would be in the last 10 years, say from 88 to 78. It would be considerably more than buying back in the 60s. That's all I would have to say.
Okay, thank you. We'll close the work session on public hearing. You better get the right word in there. Close the public hearing on House Bill 3417. We'll open the public hearing on House Bill 3416. Where did I go with it? I'm as bad as... Where's my bill? There we go. This is the one that would allow you to retire at 25 years at age.
No age limit.
No age limit.
After 25 years.
After 25 years, and that's all. You had it. Did Vern Hoyer come up and start the conversation on this? And I think probably after we do this bill, I'm going to... During the meeting, I know we had a couple more bills, but it appears that we don't have a.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Representatives, my name is Vern Hoyer. I'm a police officer with the City of Eugene of the Department of Public Safety in Eugene. I strongly support House Bill 3416 and 3417. I'd like to add on 3417, that's a type of bill that will virtually dissipate over a period of 10 years, where people will not be eligible to buy back into the system after so long, after so many years, because they will virtually be gone or retired already if they wait. In regards to House Bill 3416, it's a retirement plan that has been devised to allow police officers and firefighters to retire at a flat 25 years. The current system is you can retire at 25 years if you're 50 years old. If you're not 50 years old, you have to work till you reach the 25 years, which in some case could be anywhere from 55 to, well, at 55 you can go out. Purpose for testifying today is the fact that I've calculated some figures that I'd like to pass on in regards to senior officers compared to junior officers and the cost savings that municipalities and the subdivision or political subdivisions could save in allowing this process. Those figures stand along with maybe a few minor hidden costs in the early retirement. In essence, what we're doing here is we're saying that an employee that comes on at 21 years of age would be allowed to retire at the age of 46, recognizing that the average age for police officers to survive after retirement is age 50.